Good Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I got a feeling that tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good, good night. A feeling that tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good, good night.
President McKinley was the president that was responsible for creating a vast sum of money in the United States that Teddy Roosevelt then spent. So let's say they were both excellent presidents, but McKinley did that, and that's one of the reasons that we're going to bring back the name of Mount McKinley, because I think he deserves it. I think he deserves it. There are lots of things we can name, but I think he deserves it. That was not very gracious to somebody that did a good job. And as you know, he was assassinated. He was assassinated.
Yeah, the controversy over what you currently call Denali. Well, I don't know what you call it. I don't know that I have a... I mean, I don't want it to be... I like McKinley, okay? I'm in favor. I think that changing names for, you know, whatever current politically correct woke reason for being offended about something, that just stop changing names, just let things be the names that they are. That's true whether it's of, you know, mountains, that's true whether it's forts, that's true whatever it is, just, you know, stop. Stop your nonsense revisionism, you know, deny and, you know, distract us from the past and separate us from our traditions by inserting yourself in your revisionist version of what's supposed to be appropriate today. But this was at the Turning Point Action Conference in Phoenix. What, the 22nd, I think, is when this took place. There was another moment in that. And by the way, you know, I think Alaskans don't know what to think now. Like, is it, isn't it, what do we call it? Well, you know, we'll see at the end of this month, right? Or end of next month. We're not quite there yet. We're not January just yet. Although it is January. It is already January in a couple places in the world. They announced at top of the hour.
New Zealand.
Thank you very much. So they're already next year in New Zealand. Well, how can it be a different year? Okay, I'm not going to argue time zones with you. By the way, you know, I'm so on a tangent now, but, you know, one of the frivolous topics I want to do sometime is, like, things that surprise you that people have trouble comprehending. And for me, time zones is one of those things. Like, I'm always amazed at how much people struggle with time zones. But I have an advantage, and the advantage is having divorced parents. You don't usually list that as an advantage, but it was for me. Having divorced parents who lived in two different time zones, you know, one in Michigan and then Chicago, which is not different time zones. Oh, I guess it is, actually. And then, you know, living in Chicago and Denver. So going one way and then going the other way. I grew up flying in low in time zones. Like, I didn't have to try. It was just native. But I know for a lot of people, they really struggle with it. Like, what does it, wait, is it behind us? Is it ahead of us? I don't understand daylight saving, you know, that kind of stuff. So that's one that I'm always, how do you not understand this? But okay, you know, there you go. So anyway, back to President Trump, past and future, I guess. I don't know what we're supposed to say about him now. Former President Trump / President-elect Trump, you know, 45, 47. Anyway, he was talking at this conference about McKinley and restoring the name, and he mentioned another one, too.
And as Commander-in-Chief, I will restore the proud and historic names of our great military bases like Fort Bragg. We're going to get them back.
Outstanding. Do it. I was actually talking to somebody who's in the military about this, and, you know, what do you think? And they're like, "Are you? This is the dumbest thing ever." And we've all had to relearn how to say everything. And, you know, Fort Liberty. Just, you know, talk about disconnecting an institution of tradition from itself. You know, you just the ordinary talk among soldiers, and just it's disgusting. I mean, it really. Anyway, so good. Undo what was done by this super woke Biden administration.
And woke has to stop, because along with everything else, it's destroying our country. We're going to stop woke. Woke is bullshit.
Now, that's not the way I would phrase it for the Transgressors Memorial Service. But I don't disagree. I don't disagree. It's all such nonsense. Just, you know, I look, it's worth giving just a small amount of background. I'm a northerner at heart, okay? I mean, I've adopted the South because I live here now for 11 years. But I'm a northerner. I'm a Midwestern kid, okay? I hate the Confederacy. Like, to me, the Confederates were the wicked, the racist, the evil oppressors of black people. You lost. You know, like, that's my, you know, what's going on inside of me when I see a Confederate flag is never positive things. Okay. Now I, you know, the generally, okay, it's a separate issue, but when I see a Confederate flag, like it bothers me. But when we tore down the Confederate monument on the top of, you know, Palafox, that bothered me. When we took the Confederate flag out of the five flags, you know, how many flags? It was the city of five flags. Well, it's the city of four flags, city of four and a half flags, city of four flags and a centered flag, city of like, stop it. Oh my God, stop it. And again, this is coming from, like, as my own reaction to a Confederate flag is revulsion. I find them disgusting. But that's the history. That's the tradition. That's the thing that has made us who we are, and we don't want to sanitize, forget, cloud over it. So all of these things, you know, somebody texts in, stop changing these street names or buildings or, you know, it's the Wentworth Museum. I'm sorry, it's the Wentworth Museum. It will always be, and I'm not from here. I didn't grow up with decades of saying that, but, you know, that's what it was. That's what I learned. Okay, we're good. Well, Andrew, don't you know his history? Yeah. And? I mean, it's just all of that. I don't know. I didn't really intend for that to be the big subject of the, you know, first segment on New Year's Eve, but it is. And it just, it's one of those things that I hadn't been thinking of as the reason why I'm glad Trump won the election, but it's a nice one, you know. And then what's going to happen if Democrats win in 4 years? Let's hope not. But if they do, you know, they're going to change the names back, you know, and just going to be changing names based on each administration. Well, you know how to prevent that problem is don't change them in the first place. And by the way, you know, well, it's too much work to change it back. You can't really make that case when you went through all the work of changing it in the first place, right? If you want to make the argument, well, it's been done. Well, it had been done for 100 years, right? Not, it's actually not 100 years from Mount McKinley, but, you know, it for a long time. I mean, it's pretty close to that. It might actually be 100 years now that I think about it, because of how that thing got named in the first place. But, you know, you can't make the argument, well, how dare you upend this 3-2-1-year-old tradition? You know, no, the argument is go back to what it was. Anyway, 518 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, this sad news. John, did you grow up watching the show Alice with Mel's Diner and
yes.
Kiss My Grits? Linda Lavin died.
Oh, I heard about that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's always interesting to me how different people of different levels of fame, you know, their passing, how it affects you. And it's very much dependent on what was meaningful to you. And I don't know, that was a show I watched all the time growing up. I don't know that I can remember any of the episodes, but I remember watching that show.
Right.
You know? And Flo was the best. She was crazy and fun and, you know, whatever. But seeing Linda Lavin pass away is just kind of like, oh. I mean, you know, she's a very accomplished actress, you know, had a long, prolific career and made people's lives better, made them laugh. And I mean, she wasn't Flo, she was Alice, but still, you know, I'm just kind of referencing that. You know, I don't know, sad moment. Because you just think about these people of when we grew up watching it.
Right.
Guess what?
Exactly.
You know, they were adults when we were kids. We're not young. This is going to happen. 519 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
So this new dose is, well, nope, that's not it. The price is nowhere to be found.
Mr. Green? Hi, it's all good. We've got this.
This is not just help from a Walgreens pharmacist.
Oh, new prescriptions. Cool. Let me check to see if these are the lowest cost options covered by your Medicare plan.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
This is someone supporting you every step of the way. Chat with a pharmacist today to find help saving. This is the human kind of help. Walgreens.
Let's get to the points. MasterCard reward points from Pinair Credit Union. Open a new account today and you can earn 20,000 free reward points in the first 90 days. Use those points for travel, merchandise, even cash back. And with no hidden fees and no balance transfer fees, Pinair's reward MasterCard fits you perfectly. Get started online at pinair.org/creditcards. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions may apply. Offer available on new accounts only. See website for details.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide Free and Gentle provides an excellent Tide clean, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues like dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on your skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, News Radio Team, on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Second of it. I love a team that has fun when they're playing. And the Lions are fun to watch. It was a little scary that game last night against the 49ers, but at this particular moment, I think they're on about the 40, and the pass from Goff to Amon-Ra St. Brown, who immediately laterals it to another receiver crossing and goes in for the touchdown. Like, oh, y'all are having fun. It's the flea flicker after the throw instead of before the throw. Isn't it fun when you watch teams that are just kind of enjoying the way they play?
It is, and you can tell, too.
Oh, yeah. And you had actually mentioned, like, watching Mahomes, like watching Kansas City.
Oh, yeah.
They play that way.
Yes.
What was the one the other day I saw him? He did a play where he was kind of scrambling around, and then it was a chest pass, like in basketball. Like a not even a fast one, but like a up and over the defender for 12 mm-hmm. yards or something like that into the right. end zone, and the guy catches it, and you're like, oh, that's just wrong. I mean, that's kind of like in basketball, the old, you grab the ball and you throw it at the guy right in front of you, but you palm it and it doesn't hit him, and then yes. you pull it back and then you shoot it. Like, it's that kind of a thing. Like, you just chest passed a loop over this guy's head for a touch. Oh, that's just wrong. It's like when guys, hurdle somebody that's trying mm-hmm. to tackle them and they just jump up. Of course, it looks funny when they do get caught
right.
and they get windmilled around. But, anyway, it's fun to watch people have fun playing sports. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. Former President Jimmy Carter's state funeral will be held on January 9th. The services will take place at the Washington National Cathedral. Carter expected to lie in state in the rotunda of the U.S. Capitol. Of course, President Biden has also declared January 9th a national day of mourning. The U.S. will be providing Ukraine with a new round of aid. Yesterday, President Biden announced $2.5 billion in security assistance for Ukraine. He said the U.S., quote, will continue to work relentlessly to strengthen Ukraine's position in its war with Russia. And here we are, Andrew, New Year's Eve. We've made it past Eve, made it to New Year's Eve.
Actual New Year's Eve,
right. And day of New Year's resolutions. They'll be starting tomorrow. And if health is among your resolutions, which it is almost everybody, right? Health
I want somebody one time to come out and be like, you know what I want to do for this year? I want to gain 20. I want to
gain about 50 pounds.
not in a, like, I want to get buff, you know,
kind of
way.
Do you see the shape I am? If I could be rounder, it would be great.
I would like to exercise a little less this year. I've been exercising too much. I have been eating too healthy. I need more ice cream.
that's more syrup. I want to eat like Buddy the Elf.
That's what I want to do. Yeah. I will partner
with you. Pancakes. Well, if that's not your goal and you do want to get healthier, experts are saying to take it easy when you start going to the gym. And they say just get on a treadmill and walk for 20 minutes. Don't try to go all in because that's why New Year's resolutions generally fail by February.
Yeah, because people try to do too much. The advice I always give people, which if you're trying to do anything different in your life, is do it so small that you'd be embarrassed to fail. You know, most people, I'm going to pray a half hour a day. No, you won't. No, you won't. And even if you do it for a week, you won't do it for 8 days. You know, pray for a minute a day. In fact, if you'd like never pray, this, and that's just as an example, but if you never pray, 30 seconds. Do 30 seconds a day. Well, what's the point of that? Because you'll do it. And tell somebody you're going to do it. And then, you know, when they ask you and you're like, you don't want to be the person who said, no, I couldn't manage 30 seconds a day. Like, you'd be so embarrassed you'd fail if you failed at it. Do something that size. Do you have any? Dave, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but do you have any for the year? Other than, I haven't noticed how you dressed today. Are you in a tie today?
Nope.
Or have you abandoned
not,
it all?
Not doing that.
Have
you come, not doing that anymore.
You come back to us now?
Yeah, I'm all not right. doing that anymore. No, I've
3 days.
Yeah, I've...
You did too much.
I went too far.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. You went too much. You, the collar shirt was fine. You added the tie yesterday, and now you're back to t-shirts.
Well, no, it's still a collared shirt.
Oh, all right. Yeah, no, I can't see through the TV screen.
Yeah,
so.
No, I just just can't do that. Can't do that anymore. No, actually, I'm trying to do the fitness thing too. But I started about a month ago,
and
I did my first day back at the gym. I did do exactly what they're saying not to do, and I tried to go too hard.
And then you were exhausted.
And realized,
tired, and
realized that,
sore.
After a year or so of not. Of not running at all.
Yeah. It's too much in one time.
Taking it slow is best.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. And yeah, I actually don't much like to say, I don't like to say I'm trying to do something. I just would rather do it. And then like afterwards, somebody's like, you lose weight? Yeah, a little. You know, like that's more fun than telling. Because then, you know, if you fail. Oh, speaking of, we didn't do this for a New Year's thing, but we did Sky Zone yesterday. My youngest, the boys love Sky Zone, historically, and my youngest is 16, and that's what he wanted to spend his Christmas money on. So we did Sky Zone. And John, are you Sky Zone? You ever done?
Oh yeah. Right. Oh yeah.
Do you do it? Do you actually get out and jump?
I did until, you know, the judge ruled that I couldn't.
Yeah.
Sky Zone is a lot of fun. And you know, if you've not been, it really is. And it's kind of funny because once you buy like a pass for the day, you might as well buy the month.
Right.
You know, because like a day pass is like $27 and a month is like $31. Come on, just give them an extra $4, you know, or $5. And then, you know, just go ahead and do it for the whole month. But don't do it every day.
Right. Exactly.
Go feel like you won if you go 10 times, you know, if you go seven times. I mean, like, you know, so I love doing that. And what happens is, same. I always have to watch myself because we do this every couple of years. We'll go there for a month, and I always get in playing the dodgeball, which is fun. And I raised three competitive boys, so they love to play dodgeball, and they especially love it that they get to throw it like at dad.
Oh yeah,
and at mom. I don't know why they're so excited to do that, but and at each other. The problem is I always have to pace myself because if I don't, then I play hard the first day at dodgeball, and then I can't raise my arm for a month. I have to.
They're like, we got you now.
Exactly. I mean, I was the chest passing we're talking about. That's what I was down to the last, or left hand throwing, because I couldn't throw with my right arm after like the fourth day. So
lefties
I always like
rule,
to go,
man.
That's
lefties
not the
rule.
Point.
Yeah.
That's not. It's not. You don't watching me throw left handed is not a pretty thing.
Oh, that'd be funny. I'd like video.
Oh man, but I do jump, and I love to. I always have to talk myself over the fear of doing flips. And then once I'm doing them, you can't stop me.
Yeah.
So front and back flips. Oh, I love it. The problem is at 53, I can only do about 9 jumps on the trampoline, then I got to sit down. It's so embarrassing.
It's okay.
Jump,
we still love
jump,
you.
Jump, jump. Oh, all right.
Let's just sit on
watch
the side.
Everybody else have fun for a little while. It's so awful. Nothing makes you feel older than like really ordinary, strenuous exercise and watching these little, you know, rubber band kids just ba-doing, ba-doing, ba-doing,
oh,
ba-doing,
yes.
ba-doing, ba-doing. Like, what can you? That's just, I'm glad you're having fun. I'm glad you're enjoying it. 529 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Speaking of Joe Biden's corruption, have you seen the pictures now that have come out with his son introducing him to all these like Chinese executives and stuff? Oh yeah, I never did anything with my son's business. And there's this right-wing group that's had to sue the National Archives to get the pictures disclosed. The Obama and Biden administrations like opposed it. Like they didn't want to disclose the pictures of Hunter and Joe glad handing the Chinese officials and these business leaders and Xi Jinping and everything.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. Cities around the world are getting ready to ring in the new year, but the big party in Times Square is going to be a wet one.
Folks across the east dealing with a big low pressure system currently spinning across portions of the Midwest. That is drifting its way slowly off towards the east, which means for the New York City ball drop, rain, 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 rain.
That is Fox meteorologist Adam Klotz. President-elect Donald Trump making a major speaker endorsement ahead of a potential battle for the gavel.
After days of silence, President-elect Trump finally weighed in on the speaker's vote. He's backing House Speaker Mike Johnson, saying in a post on Truth Social, "Speaker Mike Johnson is a good, hardworking, religious man. He will do the right thing, and we will continue to win."
That's Fox's Madeline Rivera. There will be a speaker vote on Friday, and there will also be a state funeral for the late former President Jimmy Carter, January 9th. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531. At News Radio 92.3, it's 64 degrees right now. We've got mostly clear skies this morning in Pensacola. An Escambia County man is facing several charges for an alleged drug robbery near the New Asian Grocery and Halal Meat Store on Davis Highway. Pensacola police officers were called to that store about 2 weeks ago for a shots fired incident on December 16th. Investigators say they found shell casings and nearly 30 pounds of marijuana at that scene. Surveillance footage then reportedly showed a person leaving the glass door of the building. A handprint on that door led investigators to 26-year-old Ladarrell Page, who has three prior felony convictions, including one for principal to the murder of Malik Jenkins back in October of 2019. Page is now being held without bond on charges of grand theft, robbery with a firearm, aggravated assault, and several weapon charges as well. Officials investigating after a train accident in the cantonment area. That happened yesterday afternoon. The Escambia Sheriff's Office says a southbound train hit a man on the tracks, or hit a person on the tracks between Archer and Old Chemstrand Roads. That accident did cause some backups yesterday afternoon due to the stopped train. The identity of the victim has not been released. One person in the hospital after a crash between a vehicle and a semi-truck on I-10 yesterday. That happened near the scenic highway exit at about 3 p.m. One person was trapped in the vehicle and had to be extricated by firefighters. They were taken to a nearby hospital on a trauma alert. Right now, there's no word on their condition as of this morning. Additional state bills become law on New Year's Day. Here's a few of the changes. Nobody in Florida under the age of 14 will be allowed to have a social media account. Voters of party affiliation may not be changed without the written consent or the consent of the voter. It'll be illegal to remain within 25 feet of a first responder that has verbally warned an offender to back off. The Florida building code has been modified, so sales drawings are not required to replace windows, doors, or garage doors in existing homes, and a bill to restrict drivers from using the left lane unless they're passing another vehicle past this year. That'll go into effect on Wednesday as well. Time's running out for statewide condo inspections. You have until today to get those done. Florida law requires all condos, three stories and higher, to complete a structural inspection every 10 years. If upgrades aren't made, condos could be forced to shut their doors. Well, Community Health of Northwest Florida reopened all 17 of their locations yesterday after a cyber attack last week.
During the holidays, we have shut down all of our systems to make sure that the integrity of our patient information is protected. We have forensic engineers coming in to really do a full-on assessment of where we are and what our next steps need to be.
CEO Chandra Smiley, and she says they decided to reopen so anybody who needs care can get it, but facilities may have limited communications ability and patients could experience wait times that are longer than normal. That cyber attack happened on Tuesday of last week. 5:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. Nice sunny weather today with a temperature near 70 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, no going into your New Year's Eve near 46 degrees. New Year's Day, plenty of sunshine, high near 60 degrees. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 40 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke, and nice and warm this morning, 64 degrees. In Pensacola and Gulf Breeze, a little bit cooler. We've got 60 reported in Milton. Our next news at 6 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields were lower this morning, the final trading day of the year, as investors considered the outlook for 2025. The yield on the 10-year Treasury was down by over 2 basis points to 4.5187%. Gardner's Candies is recalling cappuccino meltaway bars sold nationwide because they may contain undeclared cashews, which can pose serious or life-threatening reactions in people with tree nut allergies. The Pennsylvania-based candy maker cited a temporary breakdown in its packaging process and said it has suspended production of the product until the trouble is resolved. The New York Stock Exchange will close trading on Thursday, January 9th, in accordance with a national day of mourning for the death of former President Jimmy Carter. The NASDAQ exchange will also close trading that day. Bond market trading will end early at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Futures are slightly higher. Monday, the Dow Industrials lost 418, the NASDAQ down 235, and the S&P 500 down 63. That's Your Money Now.
Remember when washing machines were made in America, were solidly built, and actually got your clothes clean? They aren't a thing of the past. They are Speed Queen, and they are available at Tops Appliance. Speed Queen washer and dryers combine durability and technology into the best washers and dryers in the world. Speed Queen will change the way you think about washing machines. They're built to last longer and deliver exceptional wash results. Unlike many other washers and dryers with plastic parts, Speed Queen uses commercial-grade steel and porcelain components designed to give you at least 25 years of reliable, trouble-free operation. That's why they come with lifetime warranties, the best warranties in the business. See store for warranty details. Speed Queen washers and dryers are built to work and built to last. If you want durability, innovation, and perfectly done laundry the first time, then you want Speed Queen. See these great Speed Queen washers and dryers for yourself at Tops Appliance on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at newsradio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
News Radio 92.3 remembers Jimmy Carter.
I think we have a nation that is truly great, not that used to be great or someday will be great again, but one that has an innate character about it that's not adequately recognized.
Jimmy Carter served one term as our 35th president, but since he left office in 1980, he set the gold standard of what a past president of the United States could accomplish. He was a man who used his faith to try to do the right thing, even though it may have cost him politically.
News Radio 92.3.
The law one.
Good morning, 539, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, New Year's Eve. I'm Andrew McKay. Yesterday, we had a good chance to talk to Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson. Bob, what did I just say? Johnson? I don't know. I haven't been drinking, but it'd be easier to explain if I had been. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
I almost called you the department. I don't know why. just getting the habit of saying certain words. How was Christmas? Eventful, uneventful in Santa Rosa County?
Actually, it was pretty quiet. Christmas Eve and Christmas both were pretty quiet.
I'll take that. That's always a good news. But you had on Friday there was an incident, right?
A guy getting basically into an argument with his wife, pointed a handgun at her, and she got out of the house, and he barricaded himself, and it ended up being a SWAT call out. But while en route to the armed disturbance, one of my canine officers was basically T-boned by another driver, and him and his canine both had to go to the hospital, but luckily they're at home recuperating right now. And we ended up having to do a SWAT entry on the guy and take him into custody.
Well, you managed to take a very concerning set of circumstances and make it sound real simple there. But the officer and the canine, you said, went to the hospital but turned out to be okay, yeah. Minor injuries?
Yeah, minor injuries on both. And hopefully they'll be coming back to work in a week or two.
And the driver of the car that hit him is also okay?
Yeah, no injuries there.
Okay, yep. All right. And in the end, it was eventful, but nobody was injured in the home, kicking down the door, basically?
Right. Yeah, we took him into custody without incident.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, terrible, obviously, to have the crash and have to go to the hospital, but, could have been a whole lot worse, and we'll take the not worse part of that. We've also got, coming up on New Year's, that we're going to have the thing that people are still kind of adjusting to, which is that fireworks are legal. Gunfire legal only if the projectile doesn't leave your property, right?
Yeah, and, this always astounds me, but it happens every year. You have people who want to celebrate by just shooting off firearms. And I get it. I'm a Second Amendment guy. Hey, But if you do anything firearm related and it endangers anybody else or is towards somebody else's house or whatever, you can and probably will be arrested. So the main thing I would tell everybody, even with fireworks as well, just play it smart. And everybody's going to be, partying on New Year's Eve, everything. So the scary part is people get hammered and then they decide, hey, now's a great time to play with these huge fireworks or to shoot off a weapon. And, sometimes that ends pretty badly.
It might be worth reminding people. I don't know that it will penetrate to their skull on, 12:30 in the morning on New Year's Day or whatever. But it's actually illegal to have a gun and be drunk, right?
Yes. So, and also another thing, and people shoot bullets up into the air and they think, well, what are the odds? Well, the odds are, they're pretty slim. It's going to come down and hit somebody. But, I've seen a lot of weird stuff in my time in law enforcement. I mean, you have a guy in Milton, poor man in Milton, sleeping in his second story bedroom and gets killed by a drunk driver. I mean, there's things happen.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. But so you take a risk, you fire a weapon in today, or you don't know where that projectile is coming down at.
And not to harp on the point, but like the business about being drunk and having a gun is, then you catch a felony, you lose your right to have a gun. I mean, like that's really a bad thing that people sometimes don't realize. You mean I can, yeah. we have rules, and you got to follow these rules, right?
And people tend to, when they're drunk, make poor decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So you enter a firearm into that mix, and yeah, nothing good's going to happen.
So on New Year's Eve, I'm at my house, and, I live in Escambia County, but, hypothetically, I'm one of your citizens. I live in Santa Rosa County. I'm at my house, and I hear noises that sound like gunfire, but I know it's the New Year's Eve. I know it could be fireworks. Mm-hmm. When do you want me to call you?
Yeah. And we get a lot of calls. I mean, we'll probably on New Year's Eve, firework calls or loud or possible gun discharge calls. We'll probably get 250 probably in an evening.
Wow.
And we have to, obviously we don't have 250 deputies working, so we're going to have to prioritize. I would say call if and only if you feel like you're in danger or your home is in danger, like somebody shooting fireworks at your house, something like that. Or if you know for a fact it's a gun, you see somebody with a gun, obviously call us and we'll take care of that as well. But it's just if you hear pop, pop, pop and it sounds 2 miles away, we're not going to be able to do anything about that. So,
yeah, I know we had had one near our house where it was like that. And I think it was a 4th of July one. I'm trying to remember now exactly, but it wasn't just one gunshot. You know, it was several and it was clearly gunfire. And, you know, it was actually the second volley, so to speak, is when, like, oh no, we need to call about this. This is bad.
You know it's a firearm, that's a whole different thing. Yeah,
right. Well, that's why I wanted to ask, because I know a lot of people have that question. They don't want to burden the system. Yeah. and they also, they know that, you know, realistically, what are you going to be able to do, and, you know, how hard is it going to be able to figure anything out? But all of us want to help keep our community safe, and we all want to, sure, you know, if there's a way that we can do that and be helpful, we all want to be helpful, and that's kind of why I wanted to ask the question. You are getting ready to do your kind of last big swearing in, because this is your last term, and, you know, you and Sheriff Simmons both have this coming up in January, right?
Yeah, correct. So I was very fortunate this time to not have an opponent, so yeah. So we kind of have a big send-off, hopefully. We're going to get everybody in the auditorium and swear. Probably we have to have some working, so it'll probably be around 300 deputies in at one time. And it's pretty cool. We get to, and plus you get to see everybody that you don't usually see, you know, midnight shift guys and, you know, stuff like that. So hopefully we'll have some good fellowship and it'll be my last swearing in.
Oh, so you're going to swear in. You said they're going to swear in also?
Oh, yeah. So I'm going to have all the deputies there, and I'll get sworn in, and then I turn around and swear them in.
Is that something you have to do, like every time you get re-sworn in, they have to be re-sworn? I've never heard of that before. Is that something that needs to be done, or is it more of just ceremonial?
It's ceremonial.
Okay.
So, but every time a sheriff takes office, no matter if it's his first term or his 30th term, everybody has to redo their commission cards. Everybody else has to redo their oath that they take. I don't have to make them do the oath in front of me.
I got you.
But they have to sign the paper with the oath on it. That's every 4 years, no matter who's coming in as sheriff.
So their oath, their ability to be sworn officers actually expires with your term, and it has to be renewed just like yours has to be renewed.
Correct.
No, I never knew that. That's interesting. Also, I think it's interesting you say you're going to have a couple hundred, 300 officers, and, you know, I mean, obviously the ones you guys don't like are going to be still out working the roads that day, though, right?
Yeah, it doesn't quite get pick and choose that way, but yeah, there's going to be some people that, I still meet them face-to-face as well and swear them in.
Good.
Even though I don't have to, I still do it just for the simple reason, you know, I like to see everybody, you know, every now and then, and I don't get to do it that often. So
I'm just picturing Ricky and Mark, you know, pulling up to each other, driver's door to driver's door, out at some, you know, vacant gas station lot down in the South End. Did you get put on duty today? Yeah, me too. Why? Does Bob not like us?
No, they'll be working their regular shift. So.
I know. Well, Sheriff Johnson, thank you so much for the time, as always. Thanks for doing what you do. Again, congratulations on the unopposed reelection. And we'll look forward to talking to you in the new year, and happy new year between now and then.
Hey, thank you, and same to you and yours, Andrew.
Absolutely. 548 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Pep Talk? What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in Thursday at 10 a.m. and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The official kickoff of the 2025 Pensacola Mardi Gras season happens Saturday at 5 o'clock inside Seville Quarter. See the official Blessing of the Float lining up and down Zaragoza and Government. See PensacolaMardiGras.com. The Pensacola Dog Fanciers Association presents the Farm Dog Event at the Equestrian Center Saturday from 7 to 7. Bring your friendly dog for activities, food trucks, and a shot clinic. Submit your event at NewsRadio923.com.
Hi, I'm Kevin King, Operations Manager at ADS Communications. I hope you have a wonderful 2025. Happy New Year.
Hey, this is Front Desk Tina wishing you and your family a very safe and happy New Year.
This is Tasca King, Radio and Digital Marketing Specialist, and I want to wish you and your family a wonderful 2025. Happy New Year.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, Happy New Year!
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
No Daisy. You know Daisy at all.
I'm not really trying to play New Year's Eve dance music, but here we go. 5:50 on News Radio 92.3.
I thought you were trying to start local, a rave dependable. Or something.
No, I mean, you know, get out your glow sticks. No, I'm not doing anything like that. Do you stay up on New Year's Eve? Do you stay up till midnight?
I try, but getting here at like
that's such an old man answer. I love
in
it.
The morning.
I'm not judging. I totally understand, but I try.
I try, but then my body's try. Like, no.
I would early. Say always yes. I don't think it's always yes, but it's.
You going to make it tonight?
Well, I mean, I stay up to midnight anyway, so it's not that big of a deal. Some nights are harder than others, but you know,
right.
I typically like to. I don't really have a show. It's, you know, we'll just watch movies or something or football today. God, all the football that's going to be on today. You know, all the games. Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines.
I
David,
have until today.
Oh, we'll get to him in just a second. He is busy doing other things. It's fine. I don't have time for you either. what's wrong with me? No, that's a long answer. That's an essay question. And I'm not getting into that just yet, but I do. I have a great story to talk about today. One that'll entertain you and drive you nuts, but not just yet. Did you see? This was a story. I think it was. Not originally in the Washington Post, but got a lot of coverage in the Washington Post. I saw it elsewhere, but the homeless in Las Vegas, you know, yesterday we were kind of talking about the homeless here, and it's a problem that everybody is having a problem with. In Las Vegas, where it's, you know, always 413 degrees, that's the science right there, they have tunnels for flooding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because any desert area, you don't have to build a lot of infrastructure for. I mean, you don't have a lot of infrastructure for flooding because it's very rare. But then when it happens, it's really bad. Like, you know, like the aqueducts in L.A. or particularly like in Phoenix, you had the same kind of thing. You had like this. You've got to be prepared for the periodic really bad rain. But most of the time, it's just dry, right? Desert. Same in Las Vegas. Well, they have these tunnels. Aqueducts that are designed for, like, you know, whenever it's flooding so they don't like wash the city away. Homeless people live in the tunnels, which is not that rare when you think about it. I mean, think about New York. You assume that lots of people live in, because you know what? It's shelter, okay, is one thing. I mean, it's a place where you can be, and especially in the heat of Las Vegas, you can be out of the heat. You can have a roof over your head, whatever. But in Vegas, it's a lot of people. Like, it's, you know, thousands of people that live in the tunnels, which is... where was the actual estimate of the number? It was, they were constructed in the 1900s. It was about 600 miles worth of tunnels. 1,200 to 1,500 people live in them, approximately.
Well, you know what? That makes sense because when we were there in April and they were having rain like they couldn't believe, for us it was nothing. We were like, I saw more homeless
That's
people.
A good point because where are they going to go? They can't be in their normal.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, what would you think is the norm when you have a homeless population in, say, you know, I mean, it's a fairly safe environment. I mean, other people are not safe, but, like, the structure is intact.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's not a shanty. And so they're living down there. What do you think happens? Well, they accumulate stuff. They build little, you know, pallet shelters or whatever. And, you know, they accumulate things, as you saw under I-110 during COVID, right?
Yeah.
You saw at the homeless city down there. What happens? Well, they do that underneath. Well, the problem is that a lot of the people down there, they're doing drugs, a lot of people, you know, there's some crime, obviously alcohol is prevalent. But also they don't get proper like medical care and treatment. So there's a whole group of people that their mission is to kind of like go minister and get these folks to come out and get treatment for things like diabetes and heart disease and depression and, you know, drug and alcohol treatment, right, and all that, which, of course, not everybody down there is eager, you know, or receptive. So they kind of always have to figure that out. But, you know, and also deal with the threatening people, the, you know, mentally unstable people, drug addicted people. So it's just, you know, I was reading about this and thinking, ah, that, I mean, that's horrible for those people. But I'm glad that there's people who are trying to help. And yeah, it does seem like a big deal. We don't really have that here. I know there's like the secret tunnels or whatever, but we don't really have anything like that here. But certainly true in Las Vegas and other places. It's just not in Las Vegas. 5:54 here on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom. Paying attention to me now, David?
Yes. Yes, I am.
David, he doesn't wear any hats, but he serves multiple roles here at the station. He is also always providing news for us and for Cat Country, and every once in a while we catch him in the middle of doing his other job. So, which we loved Cat Country because they're like 50 feet away.
Absolutely.
Through two windows, just, and you know, Brent and Dana are over there having a good time.
The other window.
That's right.
Former President Jimmy Carter's state funeral is being held January 9th. Those services are taking place at the Washington National Cathedral. He's expected to lie in state in the rotunda of the U.S. Capitol. Of course, January 9th also has been declared a national day of mourning. A Pentagon appeals court is giving the green light to plea deals made with accused conspirators in the September 11th, 2001 terrorist attacks. The panel upheld a military judge's ruling that Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin acted beyond the scope of his authority when he rescinded the plea deals in August. Under the agreement, the men will plead guilty to war crimes for life sentences instead of facing the death penalty at trial. And the U.S. providing Ukraine with a new round of aid. President Biden announced yesterday another $2.5 billion in security assistance. He said the U.S. will, quote, continue to work relentlessly to strengthen Ukraine's position. And, of course, February marks 3 years now since the first invasion.
All right, David, thanks. 3 years. 3 years. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. I don't relish bringing sort of bad stories about the military, but there are, I mean, it's my job to bring you the information, and especially because we're a military town, especially a Navy town. This one's really frustrating because it's about financial mismanagement and the Navy's work to modernize the Ticonderoga class guided missile cruisers. So the original plan was to modernize 11 of these ships to bring them, you know, up to date and, you know, give them longer life, which wouldn't be a lot of longer life, but some. And of course, we've been doing everything we can to, you know, keep hulls, gray hulls out there and, you know, keep pace with the Chinese, which we are not doing. You know, ours may be better, but they have more and they're getting better at making more. And we're not doing what we should be doing in terms of shipbuilding. Anyway, so the plan was originally to modernize 11 of them. Okay. Then they took four. They took four, which were immediately removed from the modernization program. $3.7 billion. Okay, was the budget. They took four out, and then so seven entered modernization, and then we decommissioned four more after having spent $1.8 billion to modernize them. In the end, for $1.9 spent on these ships, we got three updated: the Gettysburg, the Chosin, and the Cape St. George. And the scheduling delays, the change orders, the total failure to really do what was supposed to happen means that now three cruisers are going to wind up coming out at a total project cost of $3.7 billion from 2015 to, last year, basically. And none of them will actually gain the intended five additional years of service life. So for almost $4 billion, we got not even 15 years of service life total across three hulls. And there's a Government Accountability Office report comes out, says the Navy did not develop key program planning and oversight tools and documents for the cruiser modernization effort, such as having an acquisition strategy, independent cost estimate, risk management plan, baseline, and Navy program oversight meetings. Another element of the report, despite widespread instances of poor quality work during the cruiser modernization effort, NAVC, like part of the Navy that oversees sea operations, like you have NAVAIR for air. NAVC senior leadership discouraged regional maintenance centers and contracting officials from fully using key quality assurance tools to maintain the industrial base and positive working relationship with the ship repair industry. And finally, even though the Navy used more than $2 billion of procurement funding for cruiser modernization, did not implement planning and oversight tools typical of high-dollar major defense acquisition programs following the major capability acquisition pathways because it's not an acquisition program. So, frustrating. Frustrating because the Navy has to go and beg for money, and you always complain about these concurrent resolutions and the spending issues. And then when they do get money, almost $4 billion with it, they squander it back.
Listen on air.